Welcome to Mostly Max and Other Things. I am the aforementioned Max, and welcome to another week of this rambling-ass thing I do here. I hope everyone is staying as healthy as they can. Omicron is out here. Like, I feel like every other person that I know, including family, has been struck down with this shit, and I want people to stop acting like it ain't nothing. And I also want people to stop falling for the okie doke about mild. When they say mild, they mean it probably won't kill you, but it could still fuck your life up on some neurological problems. So keep that in mind when you feel like you want to get out here and get caught slipping. So any who's there, let's get into the fucking bullshit. I want to start off by saying, first off, RIP to the GOAT, Betty White. She passed at the age of 99 on New Year's Eve. Way to troll the cats all the way out the door. Cats was getting ready to do the big 100th birthday celebration, had the articles out, shows and all this stuff to rep for the GOAT. But, you know, she was like, you know what? Fuck this place. I'm out. And you know what? I'm not mad at it. You know, you lived your life right when nobody had a bad thing to say about you. Like, everybody just was like, yes, this lady was just always here. And she's like, was popping through generations. Like, everybody knows who she is. Even if they've never seen an episode of The Golden Girls, even if they've never seen an episode of Mama's Family, even if they've never seen an episode of, what was that show with Mary Tyler Moore? You know the one I'm talking about. If they've never seen it, they know who she is. And that's something to be dapped up for. So RIP to her. And yeah. Moving into real fuckery, the Rat King Spawn is not complying with a subpoena from the New York State AG. Basically, they were subpoenaed for their scams in terms of the way that they valued their real estate holdings, which they'd be like, yeah, we billionaires, boop, boop, boop. Yeah, long money. Yes, boom, boom, boom. Then it came time for taxes. This shit got mad losses. It's only worth $5, bitch. This is all, we can't pay no taxes on this because we broke. This property isn't worth nearly as much, which we all know is a fucking lie because scams. And quietly, real estate in New York City is the scamminest scams that ever scammed. And that's just a fact. If you are a scumbag who wants to hide some money, if you're an oligarch who wants to do some shifty shit, if you want to hide some money from a bitch that you're divorcing, this is the place. This is the place. Like, if you want to do scumbag shit, this is it. If you want to do scumbag shit just on a minor level, not even a major level, this is the place. Because let me tell you, buying a home in New York City is just, I mean, I bought my place years ago and it was scam o'clock, literally scam o'clock from the scumbag that we bought our place from. So, yeah. So anyway, they have been hit with subpoenas from the New York Attorney General and they're just like, we're going to quash this. We're not going to comply. And to that I say, lock their fucking asses up already. Like, they were out here running scams from time. Generationally, that is the family brand. And these two little motherfuckers have been on that wave for a very long fucking time. Down to like even in like they scammed a ball player or something with the Trump Soho building. And the AG, no, the DA from Manhattan at the time, what was that cat's name? Cyrus Vance, had a chance to come get them. And, you know, they cut a check to his campaign for like $25,000. And suddenly all of the beef went away. I'm hoping that's not the case this time. It's time for these bitches to get what's coming to them. Like, enough already. So, yeah, you don't want to comply? Bet. Send the fucking people. I'm tired. Even on this fucking 1-6 commission. Like, why you glad-handing these bitches? Like, send the people. Put these hoes in jail. Lock them up until they know how to act. Simple. I don't understand the problem. Anybody else who would have been got seen by the people. The people, the jump out boys that came and got their asses down at the goddamn supermarket or some shit. You wouldn't be able to sleep in your fucking house. It would be so hot for you if it's just a regular motherfucker who's not in compliance. So why these, well, you know why these bitches are different. Anyway, lock those motherfuckers up. I'm tired. Anywhoza, speaking of more shit from the Rat King and Rat King Associates, the anniversary of the goofballs running up into the Capitol is tomorrow. Well, today is the 5th while I'm recording. This will drop tomorrow. So tomorrow is the date of tomorrow, which is, I guess, when you listen to this would be today. Whatever. Anyway, future me is talking about the shit now. but basically, ain't shit changed. They've only scooped up maybe 700 of the motherfuckers who ran up into the Capitol. And basically, they've gotten to the point where they've mutated their fucking bullshit and they are coming for local government, where the real fuckery is. That's where the real, not the Fed side. The Fed side takes too long to get shit done. But the local side, yeah, boy, you could get one of these bitches in there and they could stay in there forever. That's what the Tea Party cats did with their fake protest, their AstroTurf ass fucking bullshit that is funded by a lot of people with a lot of money, just like this January 6th bunch of dickheads were and still are. So now they come in, all of your white supremacist orgs that are pretending they not, or kind of are, but like, you know, everybody's not saying the obvious part out loud, and they're pretending to be concerned citizens pulling up at like school board meetings and shit, talking bullshit about, you know, fake, taking fake umbrage about mask mandates and well, fake real, I don't really know. But a lot of these QAnon bitches and other assorted fucking numbnuts have been pulling up to the local functions and being disruptive and pulling up with gun talk and like LARPing as fucking concerned citizens about fake shit like critical race theory, like a second grader is getting long education about feminism and black. Look, it's all fucking bullshit. Let's just call it what it is. It's bullshit, but it is effective bullshit because they're pulling up and they're pressing these people, and these fucking school boards and shit are compliant because they don't want no fucking smoke, because these people are terrorists and they will pull up with the violence, and that is just a fact. And they are using the looming threat of violence to get what they want, and this is the new normal. That's what's going to come of this thing. You're going to start seeing these motherfuckers, more of these motherfuckers, show up in your state governments and your school boards and your community boards and shit like that. They're going to come in with their fucking bullshit and commence to trying to take shit over. I mean, these are people who are a deck short of a full set of cards. You know what I'm saying? And they are really out here getting to it. In other news around that bullshit, and they are getting to it. Those motherfuckers are being successful. Like, you see it already. Anyhow, around that shit, too, we might end up getting ourselves a little prime time action from the Capitol riot panel. They're talking about making it pop in such a way where cats can watch these hearings in prime time during the evening so that the public can get the best opportunity to hear these motherfuckers do their testimony and see the evidence of what these bitches have done. And which, I mean, anybody with a pair of eyeballs can see what happened. Like, literally, tomorrow makes a year. And these people have really remixed it on some. No, it wasn't what you saw. Don't believe your lying eyes. Never mind that there was bitches cosplayed up repping the Rat King hard. Like, they really had flags and hats and coats and all the paraphernalia that they got scammed out of money for to rep the Rat King that day. But yes, let's pretend that what we saw isn't what we saw. So basically, they looking to do these hearings like in March or April, but they ain't really set no date. They working towards it. I feel like you bitches are taking too long, but I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to make you see what these motherfuckers did in time for the midterm so that they don't get washed. Which is also why suddenly Menchie, who I call him Menchie, old boy from Brooklyn who represents Brooklyn, allegedly, Chuck Schumer is talking about bringing up a vote for all of the stuff that they should have been done already around getting rid of the filibuster and locking down protections for voting rights, because now it's a new year and it's what, let's just say a couple weeks before we end up doing the midterms. And now when they've had, I don't know how fucking long to fucking do this shit, now they're talking about bringing up the John Lewis Voting Rights Act and all these other protective things that they should have done day one. There's a whole lot of stuff that should have been done day one. But, you know, why would you do something like that when you have everything? But go off. Anyway, they want to make a spectacle pop off so that, you know, people won't notice that the folks that we elected to have everything have not done anything. You know, it's kind of like the George Costanza approach. Let's a flurry of activity, but signifying nothing. But we'll see what happens. And I don't have faith in anything. They're going to get washed in the midterms, no matter what happens. And of course, the same pack of donkeys, jackass, assholes, dipshits, and fuckwits are going to do the same thing they've always done. Pretend that you know, them trying to protect people's right to vote is anti-democratic. And push back on it, as they do. But we'll see the mess happen, I guess, in real time. Any hooser, that's it for the fuck shit. This week on the podcast, I had a fave of mine, a brilliant menace of a woman who I really enjoyed talking to. It was really great having her on. I spoke to Tanya Ellis, who is the co-host of the Million Eyes in One podcast, which is about fantasy, but really started out mostly about Game of Thrones. She's like a Game of Thronesologist. And a bunch of other stuff. She has a lot of really interesting interests, and we talk about them and how she got to where she got to and where she's at and where she's going. So take a listen and enjoy, because you know I did, and it's coming up in 2 seconds. Today on the podcast, I have an expert in all things Game of Thrones, a brilliant woman who is also an attorney. She is hilarious. She is a menace. She is a maker of beautiful babies. And she's a baddie. Welcome to Mostly Max and Other Things, Tanya Ellis. Welcome.
Hi, Max. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, of course. Thank you for agreeing to come on here to listen to me ramble about some bullshit.
No, I've been like low-key hoping you'd ask. I was so excited when I saw your message.
Yay!
I was so like, happy. I was like, don't be thirsty. Don't be thirsty. Let her ask you.
You absolutely could have asked me, and I'd have been like, hell yeah. So my first question, what do you do and why do you do it?
So what do I do? Technically, I'm an attorney by trade. However, I no longer work. Why? Because I don't like it.
No, that's right.
Work is the you know, well, it's really because I just had a baby.
Also.
But I found that I really like doing other things than lawyering.
Fair. I find like that's the thing with a lot of lawyers. They're like, if I can do anything else, I'm going to go ahead and do that.
Yeah. You know, it's like I've put in the work and I've done all the lawyering I can do at the moment. And right now, everything is about the babies. And you may hear one screaming in the background. I apologize.
Super cute, noisy baby.
You know, I've been staying home with them. It's actually been great since all the pandemic stuff has happened that I've been able to be home with them.
Yeah.
In addition to lawyering, what I've been doing more and more is podcasting as well.
Hey,
as you already know.
Yes, I do.
I have a podcast, 1,000 Eyes in 1, where we started off only doing Game of Thrones, but now we're getting into all manner of speculative fiction. And that I do simply because I love it.
Right on. And y'all look good at it too. So like,
thank you.
You know, like the hardcore people, like I had to tap out of the trivia joints because all I've got like for the GOT joints, like the last time I did a trivia joint with y'all on Zoom, it was like all these professionals and they were all like, so what's the book? It was like a book question. I was like, oh, honey, this is, I am out of my depth.
It gets really intense sometimes depending on who comes.
Yeah.
But it's fun though. It's fun. You should come back.
I may do it, but I'd be like, look, I'd have to like preface it by like, listen, I am a TV girl. I did not read the books. I don't know anything of what you're talking about. So if you're looking for answers from me, you're SOL.
Well, we've been doing the Wheel of Time.
I started watching that. I think I got
so
like
good.
1.5 eps in. My husband's all the way in. I think he's.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, we've been doing the Wheel of Time and we've been doing our book club, Why Not an Empty Stomach?
Mm-hmm.
And,
I keep saying I'm going to read the book, but I'll be buying it. But you understand that I'm still reading Who Fears Death, right?
That's a heavy book, though.
Yeah.
So I get it. That book is a lot. It's a lot.
Good, though. But I'll be so in there. Good. In and out. Mostly out.
But yeah, you know, we've been having so much fun with it. And I've been joking with Nikki that the title of my memoir is going to be, Have You Read the Books?
That's perfect. Perfect. Very on brand.
So that's what I do. And that's why
the title of mine is like, I read half. I watched the whole show though. Alrighty. So I guess the next question would be, how did you get started in your industry? Like, how did you get started on all of the things? You could pick a thing or all of them.
Okay, I got started with law school. I originally studied music and I got vocal damage.
Whoa.
And so I had to do a semester of rest. And during that semester, I was taking a bunch of classes. And one of them was legal aspects of the music industry. Uh-huh. And I just excelled in it and I loved it. And at the time, I had never once ever considered being involved in law in any way.
Mm.
You know, I thought I was going to go on tour as a background singer. And maybe be a one-hit wonder. Those were my goals.
Be like Lisa Fisher. Well, she kind of, yeah, she was a one-hit wonder, but she's a background singer.
You just need one.
You don't need anything more. She got a Grammy. She was out. She was like,
I'll
go back.
And then you're out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine having like All I Want for Christmas as your one hit? You'd be straight.
You don't need anything else.
Nothing else. So that was my goal. Things did not work out that way. Mm-hmm. And I ended up deciding to pursue law as a career. And the short version is I ended up moving to New York and I graduated from law school here and the economy collapsed. And so I started leaning into my past hobbies while I figured out this law thing. I started my own practice for a few years and I actually left it when I started having children because it's running a business is incredibly difficult. Running a law practice is on a whole other level.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to do it with babies is just inconceivable.
Yes. Like I don't even have kids and just trying to run a business is just the most. So.
It's just so much. And so, yeah, once my first child came along, it just became and plus I wanted to have like proper health insurance.
Mm.
It just became too much. And during that time, my friend Nikki and I, she was really into Game of Thrones and had not read the books. And one day I said to her, have you read the books? And so she finally started them and she loved it, completely became obsessed. And it got to the point that we were both working in Midtown and she would meet me on breaks and we would talk about the books. And then one day I was like, we should just podcast about it.
I love it.
And so then I was like, well, I guess I have to learn audio editing. And so we started podcasting with just like our headphones, just recording Skype calls and, you know,
I love
it. Evolved into what we're doing now with the book club, with podcasting about other shows. We have a YouTube channel now and that's new. That was brought about by the pandemic. And we're just both really into speculative fiction. Like, we love fantasy, we love sci-fi and horror, and having another Black woman who's as geeky about it as I am is exciting, because that was kind of a first for me.
Yeah, you found your people.
Yeah, I found my people, you know, and it's the beauty of the internet, because we knew each other from New York's jazz scene.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, and neither of us had any idea that the other was into these things until we became Facebook friends.
I love that.
So, you know. Fun. Yeah, so now here we are.
Yeah, that's dope. So, my third question, what do you hope to achieve? What does the final form, if there is one, for your career look like?
The final form. I want LeVar Burton to personally say he is proud of me and the work that I do.
I love that.
While also, you know, make actually having money coming in from doing these things.
Right. Right. That's the part. That part.
Yeah, that part. But yeah, I want to be like I want LeVar Burton to be like, you guys should check out her podcast. You know, or like, yeah, she recommended this book that I really love.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Basically, I want to be LeVar Burton when I grow up.
Fair. Like, I mean, He's hit the whole legendary joint in terms of like bookends of things that to be famous for, you know what I mean?
And he loves books so much, and he's so well known for it.
Yeah.
And like, I would love to be well known for how much I love books while also being just like universally loved, you know? Yeah. No one has I've never heard anything bad about LeVar Burton. And I met him once.
Oh,
and he was so nice. He was so nice, super nice. He took selfies with me.
Aww.
And like, it was, you know, it was just, he was very gracious, and he's a very smart person. And so when I think about where I'd want to go with all of this, I briefly thought maybe I wanted to be a librarian, but I don't know if I have it in me, because customer service isn't my strong point.
Yeah. So know your
maybe
limits.
Not. No, you gotta know. You gotta know your limits.
There's certain things I know I'm never going to do because I don't have it. And but, like, retail was definitely one of those things.
Oh no, I lasted 3 weeks in retail. I'm not good at it. You know, and you
gotta,
like,
I don't
know
even
want to
do HR retail. That's how bad it is. That is bad. Because retail and HR, I saw my husband went through during his Home Depot days. Keep it terrible. No.
But yeah, I think at the end of the day, I just want to somehow get paid for loving books and, you know, and being appreciated for geeking out the way I do. Now that there seems to be more lanes for that, I'd love to be a part of it.
I'd like to see it. Just put it into the universe. I feel like it'll just, it's going to show up. Because, like, I feel like that's how kind of like well-read Black Girl started. Because that was a, you know, kind of a niche little book club. And now it's like, she's doing festivals and, you know what I'm saying? And like, has like buy-in from a lot of well-known authors and stuff. And it's become a thing. She's written a book herself.
Oh, so you know what would be cool? If I could just read books that people are thinking about adapting.
Ooh.
And just like, you know, be like, hey, this series is really good. Would probably be able to adapt. Let's get the rights for that.
Right, because then you can get in on the front end and the back end.
Yeah, right.
I love that. That's a great idea. You should figure out how
to get you
works.
Turning my wheels.
See,
helping me figure out my life.
See, a little bit. I love that idea. That's a great idea. All right. So for my fourth question, what advice would you give to someone who is interested in your work?
Well, if I was going to give advice to someone who is interested in getting in law, I would say, make sure you really want to do that because it's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It requires so much from you. It's not something to do lightly.
Mm-hmm.
I would also say, if you can manage to work, actually scratch that. No,
you can't.
Excuse me. It's too hard. I went part-time and worked, and even that was too hard.
That's what I had wanted to do. And, you know, I'm a terrible test taker, so I completely shat the bed on the LSAT multiple times. And I spent a fucking grip trying to get on. I didn't even get on. So then, like, eventually it was like, bitch, you've spent a lot of money on this endeavor. What if you actually get in? How are you going to pay for it? I was like, oh, you know what? I'll put this down.
Yeah, I would say make sure you really want to do it and get to know people, other people who can help you. Like, you need a network. You really, really need a network, because it's just hard. Otherwise, it's hard to get a job. It's hard to get them, you know, unless you're like the top of your class, which I was not. But knowing people helps so much more than like anything else.
Like, you needed to have a tribe.
Yeah, you really do. You need a tribe, you know, join clubs, meet other seasoned attorneys who can help you, who can guide you, because law school teaches you the law, but it doesn't teach you how to practice.
You're like the third lawyer to say that to me. And that's the case, I guess, because everybody was like, no, they teach you more or less the theories, stuff, but like
concepts
you learn on the job.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So if you can find somebody to take you on, you know, if you're not able to get like a clerkship or something, if you could just find someone who can just help you,
mentor you, walk you through it all.
It makes a big difference. Podcasting advice, I have no idea. Learn how to learn a DAW. I don't know. I'm still figuring it out myself.
I don't know what I'm doing. I feel fancy because I bought this little arm thing to hold the mic in front of my face.
I have one too.
I thought I was doing it
in my bedroom. I'm using a tripod.
Luckily, it's you know, we have this big old desk in here, so I could clip it to it and it looks like I'm doing it, but I say it all the time. I don't know what I'm doing. This whole thing started as a whim, really. Like, it's not like I'm just happy people like it, because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing and I just be rambling every week.
It's fun though, right?
It is fun. It's been very therapeutic for me. Like, that was part of the reason why I did it, because I was so mad and it was like, I can't keep yelling at the television with my husband in the room, reminding me that I already yelled about that already. So maybe I should yell somewhere else. But yeah, it is fun. And, you know, it's nice when you learn new tricks and stuff to make your life easier. There's other things that I need to learn how to do, like to properly edit. But
well, that's something that I really like doing is editing. And, you know, I've been considering that as a possible second career, audio engineering.
Okay.
Because, I mean, my background is music. There's no reason to not. And my husband literally teaches it. So,
correct.
You know, I have a tutor in-house and I know tons of people who can help me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's dope.
You know, we'll see.
Another possibility.
Mm-hmm. Another possibility.
Endless, limitless. Okay. So, for my fifth question, what was the worst job you've ever had?
Oh boy, there's so many to choose from. Let's see. The worst, it's usually not the job, it's usually the people, right?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had a job where like the job itself was horrible, but one of the worst people I've ever worked for. Actually, no, I've thought of one worse. So there was a brief period where I was out of law school. I had passed the bar exam, but I did not have a job. And I could not find work, like, at all. It was a very bad time. And I was like, look, these bills just need to simply get paid.
Mm-hmm.
So I answered a Craigslist ad for this company.
Oh,
I forgot what they were called. But basically, I worked from 4 p.m. to midnight, and I just scanned documents.
Oh, my God.
That's all I did. And it was simple, you know, it didn't really require much of me. And for the most part, the people there were relatively normal.
Mm-hmm.
However, the bathroom was fucking filthy. Mm. It was horrible. It was like animals used it.
Oh Oh my God.
And then one night, our supervisor complained about the bathroom. She called a meeting with all the women and told us that we needed to clean the bathroom before we left at night.
No, no, we don't.
I never returned to that job.
Correct.
Because you hired me to scan documents. I am not cleaning up after you monsters.
Why do you not tell the dudes? Tell everybody now. If you want to do all that. Why don't you
tell the people who come there to clean? There's that's people the who come every night to clean.
That happened to me when I was an admin for like this financial communications outfit years ago. This wingding that I worked for, she was one of those people who it was kind of like it was nothing for her to have a tantrum. And it was good. She was good for like yelling at people. And I was not for that at all. And one day she came out and was like, you know, people, you should put together a chore wheel with you and the other admins and just a chore wheel. I worked at Dunder Mifflin. And she was like, yeah. And then each one of you can do a spin. And then, you know, y'all can clean up the kitchen and put away the mugs and wash the dishes, unload the dishwasher. And I was like, you know, more or less I was letting her cook for a lot of shit. Like she was a real piece of fucking work, this lady. But that was it for me. I said, no, that's not something I want to do. And that's not something I will be doing because I'm paid to do this. And there's also facilities people who come in and do that. If you want that kind of work done, I suggest you reach out to the facilities folks and ask them to do it because I won't be doing it. You can ask somebody else though, but not me.
Yeah, I just never went back. It was one of those where like you'd like choose your shift each week and I just simply did not respond to the email the next time. I was like, I'm sure I can find something else because it wasn't exactly like a career job. It was just a way to pay the bills.
Get paid, yeah.
I think a close second would be this lawyer I worked for who was like an actual bad person.
Mm.
She was a monster as well. There was one day where she pushed me to my breaking point. Mm. She stood over me yelling at me that I was going to get her disbarred because apparently she claimed I'd lost some file. However, it was a file for a case that she started before I started working for her.
Oh, wow.
So I had no idea what the fuck she was talking about.
Right.
And as I'm frantically going through boxes trying to find it, she realizes she had pulled it out and was on her desk.
No.
I threw the entire box of files and punched a hole in the wall and then stormed out. And she didn't fire me.
She did I feel not like fire she's me. Done that to people. So it's like regular. You really got your Andy Bernard on and punched a hole in the wall?
It was more of a dent, not a hole. It was a dent. And it was in the bathroom. I threw the box of files. I went into the bathroom and I punched the bathroom stall.
Oh,
and
wow.
One of the receptionists was in there and was just like slowly backed out like, nope. And she didn't fire me. Wow. I couldn't believe she didn't fire me after that. I ended up quitting.
Of course.
I had gotten a really great opportunity at Universal Music Group shortly after. So thank God for that. So I got out of there, but she was just awful. And I mean, she was so awful that, she was a solo attorney, but she rented her office out of a bigger firm.
Mm-hmm.
And they one time had a big party because someone had made partner and mm-hmm. they didn't invite her.
Damn.
But she's in the same office.
Cold as ice. So that she could see the party going on that she wasn't invited to.
They waited till they checked her calendar and waited till she had to be in court. And they threw a party with champagne and all this stuff. And I was there. They told me about it. And they were just like, we simply don't like her. And I was like, wow,
how could that be good for your career? Be like, it's if cats terrible. Don't want to fuck with you at all, which is probably why she was a solo dolo cat, because mm-hmm. she could not play well with others in any firm at all.
At the time that I left, she was being sued by a client. I can't say for what, obviously, but she was being sued. And then the next time I saw her name, I'm in the New York State Bar Association. And so I'm like on the listserv and I get, articles and things like that. The next time I saw her name was once again, her being sued by clients. And I'm just like,
she sucks.
Like, man. Girl, there is new case law because of you.
Wow.
Like, this is your legacy. So that comes in second for like worst jobs I've ever
How
had.
How wretched do you have to be where laws are popping off because you suck so bad?
A whole monster, okay? A whole monster. She made me make a fake Facebook account to stalk her ex-boyfriend.
No. No.
Listen, this would take all night. I'm not even
Oh my gonna... God.
This is, yes, it was awful.
Absolutely not. What?
Awful. I was supposed to be learning the fucking law. And here I am.
Fucking with a stalking fake
Facebook
dudes.
Account. Oh stalking. God. Befriending your ex-boyfriend's girlfriend on Facebook so that you can find out what's going on with him. Like, this is a mess.
Ooh, you loser too? Oh my God. Oh,
and to top it off, during all of this, this was a woman who was in her 60s.
Oh, she's old. No shade. That's barely old now, but what? No,
it's too old for that.
Yeah, her big age. I thought she was talking about somebody who was like, nope. You know, late 30s, maybe nope. Early 40s. I give them for that kind of foolishness. Nope. This bitch was at her big age.
She was like 62 doing this shit.
Oh my God. And not an ounce of shame either. None. Bless it.
None.
Bless
just,
it.
Just ordering from QVC all day and stalking her ex-boyfriend that's, on Facebook.
That is age-appropriate behavior right there, though.
Oh, God. I just dredged up so much terrible
oh,
shit.
Oh, no. I hate what... We'll that's why drinking. I had to add the last question, because I'd be like, ah, let's end the podcast on some trauma. Because that's how I used to end the podcast. I'd be like, all right, that's it for my questions. Go ahead and cry.
Right.
So, finally, my final question. What was the best job you've ever had?
Best job. I think, you know what? I'll say my internship at Universal was my best job. Unfortunately, you know, things that was during the time that the economy took a turn. So like a lot of people were laid off and things went sour. But while I was there, it was just really interesting people to work for. I worked in their business affairs department and they took it very seriously, which I appreciated. It was complete. And this was right after this wretched woman. So like, it was
So anything after that was going to be amazing.
Yeah. They taught me a lot about the music business, about law. I was there while, Remy Ma was going through her court stuff.
Oh, wow.
So, because she was a Universal artist. And so that I got to see some of the inside of that. That was kind of cool.
Interesting.
I just worked with really nice people who wanted to make sure I was really learning. Like, I wasn't an intern running around getting coffee and just like twiddling my thumbs. Like, they had me writing memos and like legal memos, I mean, and doing research. And it was probably one of the best work experiences I've ever had.
Nice. And you don't normally hear that in a corporate setting ever.
No. And you know, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I worked under three Black women.
Oh. Was the demon a Black woman or no? I feel like
no, she was a white woman.
Yeah, I felt that in my spirit. Before I asked.
She was a white woman. She what's funny, so she was Jewish and she would always like eat like shellfish and stuff and then like let me know she's not supposed to because she's Jewish, but like I just really wasn't asking because I didn't care.
No one cares. I'm too busy stalking your boyfriend, old lady.
Yeah, she'd be like, I have canned crab meat, and I'm like, why are you telling me this? And she's like, well, you know, I'm Jewish, so I'm not supposed to eat it. And I'm like,
I don't care.
Again, why are we discussing your crab forbidden meat. Lunch?
And it's probably imitation, so I don't care.
Anyway, but like, yeah, why are we discussing your forbidden lunch? I just don't understand you.
Forbidden lunch. That's the name. That is the name of your memoir, Forbidden Lunch.
Forbidden Lunch.
Or at least a band. Whatever band you start, Forbidden Lunch.
Just heard her forbidden meats. It was weird.
Oh my God. Oh, I thought I had some dickheads in my mix. That no one's asked me to stalk their boyfriend. I've had bitches tell me they're about to go get their choches waxed, but I've never had.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't need it. I didn't need that information. And I said as much. I was like, I didn't need that. Who asked that?
It's too
much.
Did
I ask that?
It's too much. Yeah, I will say my other corporate settings were not as positive. But that was my first, and I think it made me optimistic.
Yeah. And at least
place optimism, but it made me optimistic.
I'm trying to think if I had any really good experiences in corporate. Maybe my very first corporate admin gig out of college. You could literally tell me nothing because it was like a white shoe investment bank. And the dudes that I supported were pretty cool. And one of them was like super cool. Like not like, you know, like you work for some white guys and they're like trying to relate. And it's like, hi, I don't have to be saved. I don't need to be a project. Just talk to me regular, okay? Yeah. We don't have to go the, hey, girl. I don't need it, please.
Oh, I hate that. It
makes me sick.
I hate that.
It really makes me nauseous.
And my thing is, that's like, I don't even talk like that, so.
Yeah, like, have you ever heard me speak like that in the office? Ever? Ever?
So why are we doing this?
Hey, girl, what's going on? Hey, shut up. But he was cool and, like, real nice and, you know. I was stupid though. When I left for the comms outfit when I left, and I left before the big bonus, a dummy. Cause they would do like this massive, like you get a regular bonus from like corporate or whatever. But then all of the dudes, which was almost all dudes, it was finance. So it was like a bunch of finance bros or whatever, but they would put a big old pot together and like give all the support folks extra coins, like cashish. And my dumb ass left before the cashish came raining down. So dumb, but I hated it there. I wanted to get out. And I wanted more money.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I wanted more money. They weren't trying to give me that. Did I leave them? No, I didn't leave them for the communications outfit. I left them for Bull Honeywell. And it was like this one satellite office that they had in this tiny little office on Park Avenue and 50 something. And I was basically the office manager. And when I tell you, I was getting my life there, I was getting my life because it was like three of us in there. And I supported this white woman who could not figure out how to attach a document to an email to save her life.
Dude, I once worked for a lawyer who would make us print her emails, give them to her, like the printouts. She would write her response on the back and then we would respond to the email that way.
Absolutely not. Oh my
God.
When
I tell you, lawyers are like at the absolute end of technological advancement. Like they are the last.
That's wild to me.
Old lawyers are just the worst. They don't change.
I think she was like, I don't even know what her position really was. It felt like she was kind of like an admin that blew up. But let me tell you, I was the office manager. It wasn't much to office manage. And I ordered all the good shit for myself.
You know what? The monster I worked for, she still used WordPerfect.
What year was this?
2007.
Oh my God. 2008. Oh my God.
And she used WordPerfect. I don't even know if people under 30
know
what WordPerfect is.
No, they don't. That's like using Lotus 1-2-3. You probably don't know what the fuck that is. But it's in the same family. Yeah. Lotus 1-2-3 was basically Excel before Excel.
Yeah.
Wow. I've
never used that, but yeah. I was familiar with WordPerfect from when I was a child.
Correct.
Learning when how to use computers for the first time.
I'm an old, so like I used it. I used it in college at the top of college.
I used it when it makes sense. I used it when I was around 13.
Yeah. That sounds right. Probably. Yeah. Yeah, like the beginning, because we were still using word processors when I started college.
So I was using word processor when I started high school, but I had a fancy one where like you type in your sentence and then you can check it on the screen first before you hit enter.
Oh,
you don't have to use all the whiteout.
Cutting edge shit.
Cutting edge technology.
Speaking of cutting edge shit, I watched The Matrix for the first time in a very long time yesterday. And
I need to do a rewatch.
Ooh, the hilarity. Just still, I remember my mind was blown. This was like 99. So like my mind was blown by all of the, you know, the bells and whistles and shit. Now like, oh, yeah. That's cute. The phones, the tech, the big ass cell phones. It looked just like my first cell phone. Oh, I died. Oh, the tech was phones.
I don't even work now.
No, payphones. Like they had to replace those with like charging.
The last time I saw a payphone, someone was shitting in it. Welcome to New York.
I was gonna say, I was like, that sounds on brand.
I was on Park and like 39th ish, somewhere around there.
God,
there's still a payphone on one of those side streets,
and it's full of shit. Taking
a huge shit in it. So if you are not from New York and you're listening to this, do not use the payphones. People shit in them.
And just don't use them. They're like disease fraps. Like I would never.
Like, no, there's doo-doo on it. Like you're gonna touch doo-doo. Just
it's gonna at least some piss. Minimum. Minimum of piss. I think the last time I used the payphone was like September 11th because all of the cell phones went down and I was trying to get my then we weren't engaged yet then boyfriend to reach out to him, make sure he was good, even though I knew he was nowhere near lower Manhattan. We were both in Midtown. He was like in Hell's Kitchen and I was like near Grand Central, and I had to I was near the Empire State Building, and it was a long ass line because everybody's phones went down. The only phones that didn't go down immediately were the Sprint phones, which is why I switched to Sprint, because I had an AT&T phone back then, the OG Nokia with the clip-on faces,
yes,
the colors
that you could play Snake on.
Yeah, I had
those things are tanks.
You could throw that shit off a roof and nothing would happen,
and then drive over it. Just, and all you'll do is fuck up your axle
at the most. So I had that. That shit was basically a brick because I couldn't do shit with it. So I had to wait online to use the phone, and then I called him at work, and when I could still remember phone numbers. And yeah, that was an ordeal. I think that's the last time I used a payphone.
I can't remember the last time I used a payphone because I got my first cell phone, I think my senior year of high school, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So if I used the payphone, it was probably at church.
Yeah,
because they had a payphone in the basement that I used to call my mom to come get me because she was always late.
Nice.
But that's the only time I remember really using payphones because I ain't going
anywhere.
How did
we survive? I don't even know how we survived.
We didn't have GPS.
We really did. When you were meeting friends, like you had to be like, I'm going to be on the last car of the train.
Yep.
That's where I'm going to be.
And you had to be on time.
You had to be.
You had to be on time. If you missed it,
the whole thing was fucked up.
The whole plan falls apart.
Completely.
The whole plan falls apart.
The entire thing was garbage after that. So funny. Anywho's it. As we always do at Mostly Max, we went off book because the other things is what we do here. Where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter as Thousand Eyes One. And that's really where I get most of my action. I'm family friendly on Facebook, except when I'm in groups. Then,
as I know.
Then the shit gets weird. It gets real weird. But yeah.
The same at least. It's the reason why I called her a menace at the top of the show.
Yeah, man. When we were trying to conceive, when I found out I was pregnant, I really did become a menace.
And I was like, the terrorism is just not going to stop, is it?
I would say I'm sorry, but it's like, I know I'm not. So would it be sincere?
It would be a waste. And we know you're not sorry. So it's like, whatever.
So you can find me on Twitter as Thousand Eyes One. And
is it like the number or is it like
the word? O-N-E. Okay. Yeah, that's where I post about geek shit, books, movies, TV. Links for our podcast are at thousandeyespodcast.com. And that's like links for YouTube and all the apps and all that. So yeah, that's where you can find me.
Dope. Well, this was so much fun. And I'm so happy we got to do this. Yay.
Me too. And I'm so happy just to see you.
I know it's been so long. I've been wanting to go smell Gravy's head and I just
Gravy.
I love some baby head.
Why won't people stop calling my baby Gravy?
Because you keep giving your, I mean, it's on theme. You got food theme baby names. So we're just keeping on with the keeping on.
I've been calling him Mango because his hair looks like a mango seed when you after you've like suck all the meat off and like the strands are just sticking out. Like that's what his hair always looks like.
So he has such a sweet face. He looks like he's been here before and he is amused. Because most babies who look like they've been here before, they're like, oh, fuck this. But he doesn't look that way. He's like, oh, good.
He's like, oh, this shit's kind of crazy. I like it.
He's like, all right, it's wild here, but all right, okay. We don't really leave outside. We don't be going outside, whatever that is, but we don't be going there. But
I know everyone he sees has masks on. It must be so wild for him.
Yeah, all the children who were born during this period, like they're going to have to follow them to see what kind of like, how it all affects them, you know?
They're going to be complete and total psychos.
Or they're going to be brilliant geniuses.
I don't know, man.
Well, some of them will probably be psychos. A good percentage, I think.
I mean, Donut has fully lost it already. He's crazy.
I'm never going to get over his grown face. Like, I was like, where is our baby boy? What's happened? I'm so old.
He's all skinny now instead of being a little fat chunker.
I know. He was so roly-poly. Aww. Yeah, I don't know whenever we'll ever be able to, like, be in rooms. Because I was really trying to
wait till the summer again.
When we could be outside. By then, Grave will be walking.
We'll be on the Zeta variant. I don't know what comes after Omicron. I'm just making stuff up.
Don't put us in that.
Oh shit! I forgot that's your. Don't put us in
that. Don't put that on us, man. Bad enough when that hurricane happened.
Oh my god!
Oh my god! Hurricane Zeta's coming down, and we can't do bird shit on this show right now. Because I think it was like a season of. I think was it last season? Of Real Housewives of Atlanta, and they all had gone for this really poor looking trip to New Orleans. And Hurricane Zeta came and really scuttled that.
Oh man. Yeah, we need something to keep us inside. We need more storms. I don't know.
I'm only pro storm if it doesn't do a lot of damage and it closes the city.
Yeah, that's what we need.
Like, just shut this motherfucker down so bitches will stay in the goddamn house. Like
we need to be forced. Yes.
Forced to stay in the house. Inside. Even though, like, people were still wilding. Like, when like, everything almost got washed away that time, they had, like, Grubhub dudes riding bikes through goddamn.
Yes, I saw that.
I was like, are you for real right now?
And I was, first of all, I was pregnant. I literally went into labor that night.
Oh, wow.
Like, I started having contractions. I didn't really realize I was truly in labor until the next day. I was having contractions that night, fully pregnant, and all I wanted was pizza. And I still didn't order because that would have been fucked up.
Yeah, it would have been. I mean, I made sure to order whatever I wanted right before the storm. Like, I ordered
bullshit. In the midst of it.
Yeah, up to their fucking nips in goddamn water, pulling a bike in the bag. Sewage. And I was like, what the you know, it ain't nothing but poo-poo in that water. Damn.
Like, you better go cook some eggs or something. Like, this is ridiculous.
You got food in the house. Rice. Yeah, get you some pasta, you bum. God. Disgusting. Anywho, as we do, we've gone off book. Thank you again for being on the show.
Thank you, Max.
And that was my discussion with Tanya Ellis. It was so much fun. And wow. 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 That has to be one of the worst job situations I've heard on here. And I mean, I talked to people who had to work with kittens and bunnies, so. But I'm glad she persevered and got out of that mess. Any hooser, let's get in to these key takeaways. My one and only key takeaway for this week is that capitalism will persevere at all costs. And that means it will do whatever it needs to do to maintain itself, even if it culls your children, if it puts the most vulnerable at risk. And the thing about everybody's commitment to capitalism and making sure the money don't stop and the wheels don't stop turning and as the cogs that we're all in this machine keep running is that everybody across the political spectrum is really about that action. They are about committing themselves to the pretense of normalcy despite all indicators of normalcy being the reason why people are getting taken the fuck up out of here. To the point where, like, the sentient pair of clown shoes that now runs my city is jumping out the window every chance he gets to really just be offensive on all levels because he's a troll. He's a smiling former gang member who is always a part of the gang. And if capitalism requires that the most vulnerable of us take the L, they don't give a fuck. They're just going to keep it popping. Mans got out today and said that people who are low skilled, the shoeshine guys, the fast food workers, the messengers, all of those people don't have what it takes to work in an office. So they need capitalism, basically, and they need to stay working in shit conditions for no fucking money because they don't have the skill sets to do anything else. Let me tell you something. The biggest, longest, hardest work I've ever done as a person who has worked and continues to work was working in fast food. It was the worst professional experience, and I've had pretty bad ones. And that one was the most labor-intensive, mentally draining, dealing with fucking assholes like him who think so little of people. And you can't miss the gendered and racial component to who this motherfucker's talking about, right? Now, mind you, this is a black man, and you know what it is. Every brother ain't a brother, and every sister ain't a sister, and we're gonna find that out every single day with this clown shoe dickhole running the city. I want you to know that. But it's mostly women working these jobs. It's mostly immigrants working these jobs. It's mostly people who have left shit situations in countries that they've lived in because home wasn't tenable because of a lot of the fuck shit that this very country that they came to has done to these homes that they are. People don't jump out the window and jump into the water with the sharks if the boat is just inhospitable. You know what I'm saying? Like, you wouldn't risk it all like that if home was something that you could actually live and grow and build in. You know what I'm saying? That people don't do the dip on their houses because it's good. They dip because it's bad. It's like when people leave shitty jobs. They don't walk away from fucking money if it's popping. They leave because it's shit, which is why, anyway, basically, the people who work these jobs are the most vulnerable and have the most to lose and are in a situation where it's a desperation situation. And these hoes know it. So they're just going to be like, fuck them. Literally, fuck them. And fuck your kids, too, because them kids got to be in that school. Never mind that you don't set anything up for them where they can, your children can be safe. Where, like, they really don't give a fuck. Like, it's about keeping them offices open so that some rich dude could flex on his workers that are not getting paid the same as him. You know what I'm saying? Like, is it really a flex if no one sees you do it? Like, it's amazing. It is truly amazing. And generationally, boomers are the cats who are like, yo, we don't give a fuck. We will commit genocide on vulnerable populations to keep it popping for that money. Because fuck them. We got one foot in the grave. We about to be out of here. And we don't give a fuck about the future. You can suck my dick. Because every single thing that usually gets scuttled, it's no shade, the olds doing it. Like, Brexit happened because of the olds and folks who weren't paying attention. It's the same shit with this. They're like, yo, we don't give a fuck about the future. We ain't finna be here. So let's fuck up the fucking environment. Let's fuck up any opportunity to do something that is modern and aids in the growth of people so that they can have a future that looks like something. Fuck them. We not gonna be here. We could give a shit. We want our shit now, bitch. Give it to us now. You hoes, we could give a fuck. So let the fucking earth warm up. Let every opportunity to pay people a living wage go down in flames. Let the possibility of people voting our old asses out of here not happen at all. And by making sure that cats can't vote the way they need to, let's shut all that shit down. Because anybody who is not me can suck a dick from the back. And that's really what it's always been about, right? And it's gross. Gross, gross. And really, I'm kind of surprised, but not really surprised, that people haven't just been like, you know what? Burn it all. Let the devil sort it out. Fuck all of this shit. We out. But quietly, there's a lot of shit going on the labor side, as I've mentioned before, where people are like, yo, we not coming to work for this. We leaving. We out here. We not going to fucking be exploited like this. Because it's not a thing of people not being able, not wanting to work. They just want work that puts food on their table, gives them a proper standard of living, and keeps them safe and keeps their families safe. Not this bullshit that people are on. Cats are going to keep piecing out on this shit. It's going to get harder before it gets easier. I know that. And like the teachers, I think the teachers got next, because let me tell you what's not going to happen, going to keep happening, where you send these teachers into these classrooms that have no prep for them, where they got to keep pulling money out their pockets to make sure that the kids get the barest of minimums, like the poorest kids, the kids who are homeless, the kids who just are out here trying to survive because their parents are trying to survive. Look. They about to be like, yo, we not doing none of this. We not coming to these schools. We know that it sucks to have the children be on remote, but the fact of the matter is the shit's not safe, and y'all are not making it safe. They're not doing shit like making sure that testing can happen. They not doing shit like making sure there's ventilation. These schools are older than Methuselah, and they like, fuck y'all. We don't give a fuck. Send them kids there. We don't give a fuck. It's about making sure these cats get babysat while the parents are out there toiling, and that's really what it comes down to, and it's gross. Everything is fucking gross. As always, ending on a high note. I think I'm going to start asking y'all about good things, because I feel like this whole shit is doom and gloom. My bad, y'all. But it is truly gross. Everything is fucking gross. And it feels like we're just in a never-ending loop of terribleness. I just, it's wretched. Anyway, I'm going to stop ranting. at this moment. I'll be back to rant more, of course. As always, I end by saying, take care of yourselves. Take care of others. Get rid of them cloth masks, y'all. Them shits is over. Omicron's like, that shit's toilet paper. We running through it. Don't get you... That's the other shit, too. Like, cats got to get rid of these fucking masks. You know how much money I've spent on fucking masks since this fucking bullshit started? And now you got to get the pricey joints. Like, I'm privileged enough where I'm in a position where I could get to them. But there's people who don't got that. And the government. Did you guys know that old man Joe never signed that defense authorization shit or whatever the fuck that shit's called that would ramp up production on getting the tests rolled out, on masks, on all of that shit? Never signed it. Still not there. We out here just in the wilderness still, which is why cats can't get testing done. Cats ain't got them rapid tests. Can't get those. Cats is gouging. All the shit has been set up for everything to be terrible still. And the gas was, hey, maybe these guys will be better at running this thing than the Rat King and his ilk. Psych! Joke's on you, motherfuckers. Anyway, yeah. If you can, get you some good KF94, and leave the N95 joints for the healthcare workers and stuff. But, like, you know, if you can get the other ones that's good, that gives you a good grip on your face and doesn't let air through, because if you feel any air coming through that mask, you basically don't have a mask on. So get rid of them surgical joints if you can. Double up if you can't. Do what you can to keep yourself safe, keep your family safe. This shit is no fucking joke. It still ain't. And it is really fucking running through people. And there's a new variant that just got found in France that is even more popping than Omarion. You know what? We're going to stop calling it Omarion in here. We're going to call it Omarosa, because she's a fucking disease. So we're going to call it that. We're going to call it Omarosa in here. That's going forward. Yeah. So this new one is popping more than Omarosa's. And it's not hard to be popping more popping than Omarosa, to be honest. Anyway. Get some new masks. Take care of yourselves. Keep washing your hands. Keep your Purell on decky. You know the vibe. And I will be back next week.